On today's episode of The Good Word, Blake Griffin joins me to discuss what the Dallas Mavericks should do with the number one pick, the future of Jason Tatum in the Boston Celtics, and his role with Prime Video for next season's NBA coverage. And Dwayne Wade joins me to discuss the similarities between Anthony Edwards' game and his, and Anthony Edwards taking the torch, along with Michael Jordan's new role with NBC. All that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. We, of course, are on YouTube, so don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to us there, as well as all the places you consume your audio podcast. Today, we are joined by Blake Griffin on behalf of Wayfair.com. Blake, last night was NBA draft lottery night, a.k.a. conspiracy theory night. So with that said, Blake, I know you have a flair for some humor. Do you have any favorite conspiracy theories with the NBA? Because clearly everybody has one.
Favorite conspiracy theories of the NBA. I think the first one I think I ever really remembered was the Patrick Ewing to the Knicks.
The frozen envelope.
Yes, exactly. That I definitely like remember that being sort of like the first one. And that was like the first time I was like, oh, maybe there's something to this. Last night was insane. I mean, that like it's almost so crazy that you're like, this can't be a conspiracy theory. Like, it can't be. It's too crazy of a situation. But man, if I'm Cooper Flagg, I'm excited. Like, that's a great place to go play for your first team.
Yeah, I mean, you being the number one pick and then having to sit out your first year, I can imagine that only ratcheted up like anxiety, anticipation, a little bit of pressure. Like, what is that like being the number one pick and knowing that you're being drafted as a franchise sort of savior?
I mean, well, it's an honor. It's definitely something like you grow up thinking about. You grow up like you want that chance, that opportunity. Sitting out was definitely like it just like ate at me. And I, of course, you know, with the Clippers at the time, all I was hearing was about all their other number one picks that didn't work out. I was hearing about Greg Oden. I was hearing about, like, that's all I heard for a year. And so it almost helped me stay focused even more, just because I was like, I can't let this happen. I can't, you know, I have to get back. I have to lock in. So it, in a way, like that pressure, I think helped me, just sort of like, you know, stay on that path and stay focused during rehab. 'Cause you know, rehab can be super tedious at times.
Yeah, no, rehab is never fun. I think that's the thing that people don't think about when they think about a player being hurt. They just think he's chilling, when rehab is like not fun at all. It's funny, Blake. I go back to your draft. I think of the Anthony Davis draft. I think of, you know, a few other, you know, clearly the Victor Wembanyama drafts. When you come in with a lot of hype and everybody know that you're going to be like the number one pick, like we believe Cooper Flagg to be, like, is there any sort of like advice that you would give him if you were to pull his coat and pull him aside a little bit?
Honestly, it as corny as it may sound, like, it's just, like, just enjoy it. Like, there's like, this is the beginning of your career. Like, the actual like process, like it, enjoy the process, because it goes by super fast. But it's also like, especially for younger guys, and I did this, but like you want everything right away. You want to you want to experience, you know, the first game. You want to experience everything. You want to be a complete player, but it's like such a marathon. Like, your career, like for these guys, like the Cooper Flags, the Victors, like those guys are going to have long, long careers, you know, hopefully. And it's hard to not want to do everything right away. And I always tell like younger guys as well, like, remember like what got you here, you know, like you hear like, oh, this guy can't do this, or everybody hears about their weaknesses and they try to prove people wrong. But like at the same time, when you're in that situation, like don't shy away from what you're good at. Like, keep doing those things, work on the other things, but be yourself. So that's kind of like the the one thing I always tell like my younger guys, my younger players, even like high school players, like if there's something that you're really good at, like make sure you keep doing that well and make sure you keep working on the other parts of your game.
No, that makes sense. I think I feel like that's the analyst part of you coming out. I'm going to get to that in a minute. Last night, I also thought about Giannis Antetokounmpo and him basically opening the door to exploring whatever his future may be. And it made me think about you a little bit. Like, you're almost like the most recent test case of player who extended with his team and then was traded. Had you known that you were going to get moved a few months after you extended, like, would you have taken a Giannis sort of like approach to your own situation and say, let me explore and see what's out here before I just sign and commit to the franchise that drafted me? Like, what comes up for you when you think about sort of almost like the other side of player empowerment, so to speak?
Yeah. I can't really say that, like, if I could do it all over again, I would do it differently. I thought I made the right decision at the time. But it is sort of a sensitive thing for players because, you know, if a player decides to explore other options, you know, it can get a little weird between fans. But if a team decides to move on, it's usually, I mean, not really in the Luka case, but if a team decides to move on from somebody, it's, you know, it's usually kind of like, it sucks to see him go, but whatever. So I can't really say that I would have done anything differently. I think at the time that was the right decision. You know, the other options I looked at, and I thought I was staying, you know, at the place I'd been. And I really enjoyed my years in Detroit. So I can't say that I would change anything.
No, that makes sense. And now you mentioned Cooper, he's walking in to replace, theoretically, if they keep the pick and they pick him and everything else, he's going in to replace the first guy that they thought, or the second guy behind Dirk, that they thought was going to be staying there forever. Like, that's a different level of pressure that I would say that could be the case for Cooper Flagg, right?
Yeah, I mean, I saw somebody talking about, like, should the Mavs move the pick? I think that's a terrible idea. But to be fair, I also thought moving Luka for that was also a bad idea. So, why would you? I don't think you trade that pick at all. I think adding Cooper Flagg to Anthony Davis, to Clay, to Kyrie when he's healthy, like that team is good.
Yeah,
I think Cooper's going to be like impactful right away. That's a very, very good team. I know Nico was watching that draft lottery like, come on, you need this so bad.
But, he prayed to the lottery. Yeah. He got his lottery conspiracy theory off last night. Yeah. That's what that was.
He got added to the list.
Yeah, number one. He's number one right now. That's what that is. He's number one in the lottery conspiracy.
I wonder what the Dallas fans are like thinking right now. Like, are they? Do you think they ease up off of him a little bit?
Absolutely not. They're afraid he's going to trade that pick to the Lakers for Austin Reeves.
For Rui Hachimura.
Yes, that's what they think. And a bag of beans or something like that. They are afraid that Nico is getting worked right now by Rob Pelinka on the phone. Oh. And they're meeting up in some coffee house.
That's so good. Nico's like, you need another washing machine.
No, I hope not. Let's just say that for Nico's sake, hopefully he better do the right thing.
Yeah.
No, but on a serious note, Blake, I was on an airplane last night when the Jason Tatum injury happened. So I was only able to follow it through Twitter. Like, what goes through your mind when you see something like that?
Just sick for him, seeing him getting wheeled off. And like, I think the hardest part when you see that happen is not you see the physical pain that somebody's in, but you see like, you see it all hit them, you know, and they realize and you can kind of tell like how bad an injury is. Sometimes people get wheeled off and they come back in the game, but not in that situation. I felt sick for him. like seeing him get wheeled back in the back, you know, you could see he was visibly upset. That's when it sucks. Cause I've been in that position, man, where it's like, sometimes you just break down and you're just like, why right now? Why me? You kind of have to have that moment where you feel sorry for yourself and then you have to get rid of it and move on. But I mean, the Celtics are still like a good team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying they're going to come back and win, but I do think that like they can, you know, they can still make it a good series.
They should be like, they've hit these large leads in every game.
Yeah.
And maybe that comes back to bite them in game five. If they get another large lead, it'll kind of be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But you look at them. Is this one of those like gut check times for that franchise coming up in game five and maybe a game six to show collectively what they can do even without their best player?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that's if I was in that locker room, that's what I would be, you know, preaching to everybody. I'm sure that's what Al, you know, Horford's telling guys. I'm sure JB, you know, will play sort of with that chip on his shoulder. And I mean, listen, they have plenty of guys who are like plenty capable of stepping up and filling that void. They're still a great defensive team. So I'm interested for game five. I'm sick for JT, sick for the Celtics too. I mean, I think it's always demoralizing. I mean, we had that experience when we played Miami in game seven in 2023. JT rolled his ankle 2 minutes in. And even then we were like, okay, we still got it. We still got this. And, you know, those situations are just, they're not fun.
No, I mean, you know, you've been there. You've gone against the Celtics in a playoff series. You've been with the Celtics in a playoff series. You know the collective sort of character of that team and of that franchise. On the other side, the Pacers have seemingly sort of come out of nowhere again, even though they were in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. Is their ceiling just going to the Conference Finals, assuming they beat Cleveland? They're up 3-1. Is their ceiling being just a team against the New York Knicks, or are they playing so well that you can see them winning this entire thing?
I think I can see them winning the East. Like, they're playing with, like, a level of confidence. Like, they have absolutely zero regard for Cleveland's defense. They're just like, no, we'll just keep playing. Like, that game mm-hmm. was a game two where they were down 15, game two. 12, whatever, the whole game, and just, like, they mm-hmm. just kept chipping away. And then the Knicks kind of did the same thing, but, like, I just feel like they're playing in a place – they're in a place as a team where they're just confident. They're having so much fun. Like, you can see it on their faces. There's, like, joy to that basketball. And I think when you play with joy, it like, truly shows in the form of them picking up 3-1 on the best – you know, the team with the best record in the East. They keep playing like this. I could see them beating like the Knicks. I could see them. I don't think they will, but you could see it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know.
Blake, I could see them beating the Knicks. Like they beat the Knicks last year. I know it's a different team, but Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach. And I feel like in the playoffs, a coach can take away a game from you because he can coach a little tight mm-hmm. or coach with his adjustments and just his overall demeanor and confidence can win you a game by strategy and instilling life into
100%. 100%. Rick Carlisle is that good. Sorry. little siren come by. New York City, man. What is going on outside, guys?
It's always a siren. Yeah.
Just had to address that.
No, but you were just saying about Rick Carlisle, being that type of coach.
I mean, Rick Carlisle is one of, I would say, probably five coaches in the NBA that are true game changers. Like,
mm-hmm.
brilliant basketball mind. And you're seeing, it's fun to watch Indiana play because they're just playing so free. I think they're one of the most free playing teams left in the playoffs right now. Like, and then the other thing that I kind of noticed, like this playoffs, like all the teams that are left, like they're teams that are willing to be coached. Like they accept coaching and they like, it shows in the way they play. Like Knicks, Clippers, Bucks, Denver, like all these teams like have great coaches and they accept coaching. And I think you're like,
mm-hmm.
you're like, hopefully that's sort of like the movement of the NBA right now, with all these like younger guys coming in who are accepting coaching and playing really, really hard. Like, I think this is like the most physical I've seen the playoffs in the last, like,
by far.
Yeah, like maybe 5-6 years. I'm trying to think back to like when's the last.
I have to go back to when you guys were battling the Spurs and you guys were battling the Grizzlies. You and Z-Bo. Y'all left each other with scars.
We're wrestling. Like, it wasn't bad. Before every game, I was just like, all right, here we go. Like, I guess I'm just going to fight for 48 minutes. But it's been, I think you're seeing, you know, the ratings are through the roof for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think hopefully it's eye opening to guys. It's like, you know, playoff time, like, you got to bring it. There's no more. Like,
it's a different sport.
Yeah.
It's a totally different 100%. Sport, it feels like.
And to the refs' credit, I think they're doing a pretty good job of figuring out how to ref those games. Because I remember, like, when I first came in, I remember hearing vets, like, all the time be like, yo, playoffs totally different. Playoffs totally different. And until you experience it, you can't really figure it out. And boy, when you go to those playoff games and you're just, like, wrestling for, you know, 36 minutes, it's a completely different game. Completely different.
Yeah, strategy. And I think people like it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think the fans really like it and they get into it. So it's fun. Blake, you are now going to be a member of the Amazon Prime NBA team. Taylor Rooks, Dirk Nowitzki, Candace Parker, Udonis Haslem, Dwayne Wade, all part of that that pregame, halftime, postgame cast. How excited are you to do this? Like, you sound like you can talk basketball with anybody. You're talking about basketball with me right now. Like, how excited for this are you?
I'm very excited. I think the voices around the NBA pre, half, and post shows have sort of been very similar. They've been kind of the same thing. And the TNT guys are great, but I'm really excited to sort of build this, you know, together with Taylor and Dirk and Udonis and Candace. Just because, like, we're all pretty fresh out of the game. And I think it's important to have, like, voices that are
that can relate.
Yeah, exactly.
To late today's game.
You know, I mean, you know how much the game has changed. I was just, like, doing some – I was looking up stats and sort of trying to figure out, you know, the Celtics – 48.5 threes per game this year. So I was like, man, when did that like really change? So I was going back. The Golden State Warriors shot like 31.6 threes a game
in the first
2015-16 when they won.
Mm-hmm.
That would be dead last in today's NBA.
By far. By far dead last.
Denver shoots like 32, I think. I think that would they were the least. But like, the way the game changes, like you have to be, you know, current enough. And I also think like celebrating the game and celebrate, like, we didn't hear enough about Cleveland this year. I know you and I as basketball fans, like true NBA fans, we know what's going on, but like, I think the average NBA fan, like Cleveland wasn't getting covered enough. Like, sure, Shea got his shine this year, but there's so many more storylines than just, Knicks, Boston, Lakers, Warriors. You know what I mean? And I think
they're
doing a disservice to the rest of the NBA by not celebrating everybody.
Sounds like you're going to inform and educate and entertain at the same time.
That's the plan. I mean, I think like some actual analysis, this is obviously very important, but just like entertaining, you know, bringing a perspective that, you know, you don't get to hear often, I think is the most important thing.
Now, Blake, of course, you're here with us on behalf of Wayfair. You're wearing purple. I know the color. I know the app. Tell us about your partnership with Wayfair. I've seen you in a couple of those commercials.
Yeah. I did a campaign called Chairades, where people get the opportunity to act out their favorite chair. And there's, by the way, there's 200,000 of them on Wayfair. So if you can't find a chair that you like,
it's your fault.
Time to look inward. But it's really cool. I mean, I enjoy this collaboration a lot just because, like I said, there are so many choices. There's a style for everybody. And I am big on, like, you know, making your home like your sanctuary, like making it comfortable. So obviously the variety helps with that. But Chair Aids will be a contest so people can like act out their favorite chairs for a chance to win $1,000 to Wayfair. And like I said, with all those options, you can get pretty much anything you need.
You find a chair, a couch, a rug. Bed, or a toaster. You can get everything on there.
Yeah, Lance, whatever you want.
Blake, man, this is really, really fun, man. I really appreciate you. Think about those conspiracy theories, because I feel like someone's going to ask you about those when you get in that analyst chair for Amazon.
I need to have a list of my favorite conspiracy theories for sure.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks again, Blake.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And now we are joined today by Dwayne Wade on behalf of Thorn Wellness and Supplements. Dwayne, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. As we sit here at this very moment, I'm doing great, bro.
I was thinking about watching Anthony Edwards the past like few weeks and thinking about the sort of run that he's been on. Like, this is his third playoff run, and that was the time where you kind of put everything together. Do you see a little bit of him in you right now with what he's doing and how he's sort of taking command of the game?
Well, I definitely don't want to see myself in him. Like, I don't even want to take any credit, but, you know, just as a young guy that kind of has had the same trajectory in a sense, like, I wasn't the number one pick, but, you know, we both were coached by the same college coach. And Coach Tom Crean, I was at Marquette. He was at Georgia. And so, you know, I know that was a big reason why he even went to Georgia is because Coach Crean coached myself and Victor Oladipo, two players that he can, you know, look at and say, all right, we have similarities. And so to be able to watch his journey, to be able to watch him, you know, grow into this big star that he's grown into, but to watch what he's doing on that court in the moments that matter. Now, that's why I see a mirror. That's why I look in the mirror right there, because it's when it matters, is when, especially as a young kid, when I stepped up and he's doing that. And so, you know, I won a championship at 24 and right now he's what, 23?
23,
and
yeah.
I'm 23 and he's on that same trajectory. He's on that same path. And so I'm locked in, bro. I'm looking. I want to see. I've been saying this. I want to see what young guy gonna go ahead and do what I did. Come in their first 3 years and win one. I ain't seen it. So, but man, he's doing an incredible job. I mean, we all are tuned in, man. He has all of us being fans of him, whether it's his personality, his persona, or what is just his play. He got that killer instinct that he just turns it on. He goes to a level and you like, yo, can't no one else on the court go to the level that he goes to. So it's amazing to watch.
Dwayne, he's in the past couple of years, he's taken down KD, LeBron, Jokic. Now, theoretically, he could take down Steph, even though Steph isn't playing. Like, right. What is that like? Put me in the mind of the young guy that's taking on like the standard of the NBA, like the legends, the monuments. Like, what is that killer mindset?
Yeah, I mean, this is why you play the game. Like, you know, obviously these things behind me come with it, and then the money and the fame come with it. But also, when we first started playing the game, we normally played with grownups, people that was your older brothers, people who were better than you. And these are people that you want to take down. You want to show them that you're better than them. This is how we started playing basketball. And so he's just doing it in front of the world on the biggest stage when he's getting a chance to play against people he watched his entire life, and he gets to send his ass home. So I love that he has that mentality. Like, he's checking them off, like, next. Next, and you need that. Don't wait your turn. You know, I've been on record talking about this. Like, I want to see what young guy that is not patient. Don't be patient. Interrupt what the natural guy got to go through 7 years, and then eventually his eighth year. No, interrupt that. You don't have to wait. And we haven't seen a lot of it in this game. And so to be able to see is refreshing. To be able to see a young guy that's coming in and is like, yo, KD, I respect you. I love you. Go home. Brian, you're amazing. You may be the GOAT. Go home. Like, I don't care, you know, because when we get between these lines, like, I want to show you that I'm better and at this moment. You know what I mean? And it's just time. Those guys have their time. If you let them stay around, obviously you see they'll stay around. You got to send them home so they can decide, so they can start getting used to vacation a little bit, and they can be, we can become your league.
It's funny. We've been talking about who's going to take the torch from Steph and KD and LeBron. Yeah. I feel like we've been having this conversation for about 5 years, and these guys keep staying, and nobody has actually snatched it. You know what I mean? Like, that's amazing. Yeah, he's taking it from him, right?
Yeah, he hitting that. I mean, not like obviously Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown won a championship. And mm-hmm. you know, that's not, we gotta give them their love and credit for that. That's hard to do. But the way that Anthony Edwards is doing it, right? That's what I think we all are amazed about, because he's had to go up against all the giants. You know what I mean? In a sense, he hasn't had an easy run to get to where he's ultimately where we want to see him at. And that's in the finals. And so this story that he's building and he's creating, bro, is real. And we're watching it in real time. It's not something that someone's telling us. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's taking the goats down. And it's time. It's time for someone to say, yo, y'all had y'all time. Thank y'all for what y'all done for this league. I appreciate y'all. But it's my time now.
It's funny. I see where his game was when he was a rookie and where his game is now. And I think if Dwayne had come into the league in a three-point shooting league, and told a rookie Dwayne Wade, you have to take this shot.
Yeah.
You become a three-point shooter, even in your young, sort of ferocious, athletic days. Like, do you almost think that people have forgotten how vicious you were athletically because you turned into a different player on the second half of your career?
Yeah. Well, the people who played against me, they ain't forget. You know what I mean? I think for me, that's what really matters is when you hear – you know, people who have played against you, they talk about you. And that's when you sit back and you're like, okay, it's the ones that didn't play and the ones that tuned in at a certain time. They tuned in the LeBron and Chris Bosh era, or they tuned in the later eras outside of that. But before that, yeah, there wasn't a league, but whatever the league was at that time, I was doing that. You know, I was just sitting there talking to my cousin about the year before I went to the championship, we played Detroit, who was, this is the Pistons. This is, this is the best defensive team in the league. I was torching Detroit. Yes. I'm talking about as a 22, 23-year-old. And you know what I mean? And it doesn't matter what defensive scheme that they put on. I still found a way to get to it. And so the league was different and I had to, you know, be great at what it was. And that's what he's doing now. Like, if it was a 3-point shooting league, I'm a shot maker. It ain't about me being I don't need to be Steph, but I can put that ball in the basket. And so I would have been more into that, but it wasn't. And so my job was to put pressure on the defense. And that's what I did every play. So, man, I love it. I love to be able to see a little bit of yourself, a little versions of yourself in different generations of players. I think we all can look at some player and look at us and look at ourselves in them a little bit. Like, D Rose can look at Ja Morant a little bit, see something of himself, right? I can look at Anthony Edwards and be like, okay, I see a little bit, right? Like, we could see ourselves in them. You're like, man, if I played in this era in today, who would I be or how good would I be? You look at me like, I'd be like this guy. And so it's really cool to be able to sit back and experience it.
And it's not like a hating thing. Like, it's not like a generational thing where, man, I'm hating on a young guy. It's like, no. I admire him. There's this torch. If there's an imaginary torch at the position, theoretically, you and Kobe had the torch at the same time. Now it feels like, okay, young fella, you got it. You're in. You know what I mean? That's what it kind of feels like in that space.
Yeah. Hating, bro. Listen, ain't nobody. I ain't got time to hate. I got too many jobs. I got too many kids. I ain't got time to be hating on another grown man. I want everybody to get everything that they deserve and everything they need, everything they work for. And you know, even in one day in Miami, if somebody come through and they have a better career in overall in Miami than me, salute. Then you're the greatest player to ever come out of Miami. It's not going to change anything that I've done. And so I don't understand the whole, when former players go back and hate on the players now, because yes, they've taken, I think a lot of it is like a lot of former players want the younger players to give them some respect and give them some love and give them some recognition for what they did do. Knowing Donovan, you got a lot of my bag in your game. You know what I mean? But Donovan is on record saying, I've gotten this from D-Wade, this pullback, this over the top. These are moves that I took from, you know, a guy. And so you like that respect. And I think a lot of guys start hating when they don't get that love because you see, like, yo, you know you watched me do that.
No, but it's funny, D, because when I saw you, and I told you this when we were in Chicago together, like, you had a lot of older Michael Jordan in your game, like the polished Michael Jordan in your game. So now Michael's going to be on TV. Yeah. And you've seen competitive Michael at the NBA 75 celebration in the back, telling everybody, I'll put your shoes on right now, all that other type of stuff. Is that the Michael Jordan you think we're going to see on TV? Or you think we're going to get the corporate pitch man Michael Jordan?
Listen, I hope we get that Michael Jordan. We don't listen, Mike. Mike is Mike, man. Mike don't have to do anything. You know what I mean? In a sense, right? And if he gonna do it, then Mike, give us what we need. Give us the mic with the cigar and with the Sincoro. You know what I'm saying? We want the mic that's gonna sit back and talk. We want that mic. I don't know how it's gonna be on network TV, but I just think it's great to have his voice back a mm-hmm. part of the game. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like we need our greats, our goats, to be a part of this game, man, as much as possible. And so Mike has been away from it for a while, and to see him coming back in this capacity, whatever it is, I know them trophies gonna be behind him when he's talking somewhere in this special contributor role. He ain't gonna be in studio, gonna be in something nice.
He gonna be way right. He gonna be you way mad.
But we wanna hear, like, even though the game has evolved, at the end of the day, it's 94 feet. Mm-hmm. You win by certain things don't change. You win by rebounding, you win by defense, you win. It's certain things that just, it doesn't matter if MJ doing it or if Anthony Edwards doing it. It's certain things that it's a through line between it all when it comes to being great, when it comes to the work you have to put in. And so Michael can, it doesn't matter if he hasn't played in a long time, he can speak to being great and what is needed and what is expected of greatness. And so I can't wait to hear him talk about the game.
It's going to be fun. I think, like you said, to see the greats. We've seen the Magics and the Isaiahs and the U's and, you know, everybody else. And now you get to see, like, the monument of monuments doing it. So, Dwayne, tell me about the partnership with Thorne and what that means to you.
Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, I've shared my journey. I've shared my health journey, right? I shared that in the end of 2023 that I had cancer surgery. And it's a very scary time for me, bro. Like, I'm an athlete, man. I'm one of the greatest athletes, right, in my mind. And, you know, when you're that, you're immortal, like mm-hmm. you're a statue, right? You don't, nothing you can get over and overcome anything. Well, you know, when I went through my journey, man, it was really scary. It was really scary for me. And so I had to realize that anything that I was going to do for my health wise, it was going to be on me. I was so used to the team and people doing stuff for me. And then
setting
when I retired,
they set the plan.
They set the plan for you. They tell you, hey, you should do this or you should think about this. I had to set the plan for myself. And so I had to go out and I had to find, I had to go find what I felt was, okay, who is the standard that I feel like I am in when it comes to this space in this wellness, on my wellness journey? And Thorne was there for me. When everything that I researched, everything that I knew, everything that doctors had told me, anytime you go to a doctor and they try to prescribe something for you in this wellness space, a lot of it goes back to Thorne. And so we reached out to Thorne and we was able to build this relationship. And it's a part of my routine, bro. Just like it, as an athlete, we have routines to make us great. Well, if I want to be great, if I want to live another 40 years and hopefully be healthy, I got to establish a routine. And so Thorne has become a part of my daily routine, man. And I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to be able to speak to scientists, to be able to speak to the brand and customize the things that I need from my body, which may be different than what you need for your body. And so it's been an incredible relationship. They were the sponsors of my wellness event I did last year. I did a wellness event for 40, 50 men out here in California. This is one of the first times all of us has been to a wellness event. And Thorne came in as a sponsor and really got me kind of started in this space. And so anything I deal with in life, man, anything that I experience, I know that others have experienced or they will experience or they are experiencing. And I like to share it. And I like to bring, you know, a community together. So Thorne is a part of that with me. They're part of this community of wellness and I appreciate them for it.
And you've always been very transparent, Dwayne. You're in good shape right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in good shape as I know. Man, I think I've been going to the doctors more than ever, man. I'm always checking on myself, whether it's my knees, my shoulders, whether it's my kidneys, my livers, whether it's my primary care doctor going in, man. I'm really like, I want to live life. I want to be healthy. And one thing about it is, as you get older, man, if you haven't taken care of your body, your body going to tell you. And I tell people all the time is we spend so much time on our outer. I spend so much time on making sure my beard good or making sure my hair, you know what I mean, my line is straight or making sure I look good or these. We don't spend no time on the inner. And so that's what I've been focusing on these last year and a half, 2 years. I've been focusing on what's inside this body, what's really going to make this engine keep going, what's really going to make my mind continue to be as open and creative as possible. And so this is the rest of my life. And so I'm thankful to be in this beginning journey of this with a partner that I look at as someone that I can grow with. And we've been doing this for a while. And so look out for what we continue to do.
I appreciate you, man. Dwayne Wade joining us on behalf of Thorne Wellness and Supplements, man. Really appreciate you, bro.
Man, I appreciate you, man. Good seeing you, bro. And man, same on me. You ain't got that wine. That's crazy.
I'm texting. I'm a email Gabby and get on her and tell her to send her my address.
let me hit you in the DM, man. I'm gonna jump in your DM, man, so we connect. All right.
Thanks to Dwayne Wade and Blake Griffin for joining us on today's show. Thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team that helps us behind the scenes. I'll be back on Thursday for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.